Since 2002, Motley Fool's stock advisor has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And in 2020, 91% recommendations saw positive returns. Imagine what stock advisor could do for your portfolio. Visit fool.com/WSJ to find out.
Here's your money briefing for Wednesday, April 14th. I'm J.R. Whelan for The Wall Street Journal. The number of people seeking a primary home skyrocketed during the pandemic. The same is true for people looking for a second home.
So you hear all sorts of stories these days about people buying vacation homes sight unseen, about, you know, dozens of offers on a single house, you know, houses going into contract like a couple days after they hit the market.
But the frenzy might not last. Government restrictions on mortgages for vacation homes could have a chilling effect. Coming up, our economics reporter Ben Eisen will tell us about the changes and what it could mean for home buyers and the broader housing market. That's after the break.
The Motley Fool has been helping investors become smarter, happier, and richer for over 25 years. In fact, their flagship service, Motley Fool Stock Advisor, has beaten the market by almost 5 times. And of the 24 stocks recommended by Stock Advisor in 2020, 22 of them had positive returns. Wondering where to invest $1,000 right now? Hint, it has to do with 5G. Visit fool.com/WSJ.
One of the hottest corners of the housing market is sales of second homes. But new restrictions on financing will be putting it to the test. Our economics reporter, Ben Eisen, has been digging into this topic, and he's with me now. Ben, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
You know, Ben, sales of second homes in February were up 93% from a year earlier, about triple the increase we saw in sales for primary residence. That's according to the real estate brokerage company Redfin. Why is that? And what's been driving sales of second homes up so much?
I think this really speaks to the kind of K-shaped nature of the recovery, is the way many economists describe it, that you have sort of two separate diverging groups of people in terms of how they're faring in this economy. And there really are a lot of people that kept their jobs, often white-collar jobs. They saved money by not having to commute or not going out to eat and stuff like that, and really have a lot of savings that they're now looking to, you know, plow into whatever they can. You know, you've seen people buying up stocks, but you've also seen people using that extra money to buy vacation homes.
And is the supply of housing a factor too? We've seen tight supply push prices higher in the overall housing market. Is it also the case for second homes?
Definitely. All indications are that the tight supply that we have in the housing market is really widespread across the country. So you hear all sorts of stories these days about people buying vacation homes sight unseen, about, you know, dozens of offers on a single house, you know, houses going into contract like a couple days after they hit the market. It's really as one real estate agent told us, it's a feeding frenzy right now in this market, and really a lot of that has to do with the lack of supply in addition to the extreme demand.
So in the middle of all this, the government-owned mortgage giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are making changes to how they'll back second home mortgages. What are they doing, and what is it meant to accomplish?
This is something that has been kind of pushed at the federal government level. Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, just for background, they don't make mortgages, but they are government-backed companies that buy them up, package them, and sell them to investors. So they really do control the flow of mortgages in a big portion of the mortgage market. And what they've decided is that they're basically going to cap how many of these mortgages they buy. And, you know, one of the reasons behind that is that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are charged with kind of helping make homes more affordable by keeping down mortgage rates. And vacation homes, it could be argued, are not necessarily a key part of that mandate. There are also investment properties as well. But, you know, just seeing the growth of this part of the mortgage market, there are now, the growth has sort of put at least one of these federal agencies in excess of the cap that's now in place.
Okay, so what's behind this change? How did it come about?
That's a good question. The reason this came about is because this was negotiated as part of changes to the agreements between Fannie and Freddie and the federal government that were negotiated during the bailout of 2008, when Fannie and Freddie came under government control. And there were, you know, a number of stipulations that went into place as a result of this. And the federal government, at least during the Trump administration, had been trying to release Fannie and Freddie from government control. And part of that involved renegotiating some of these agreements. And this was one of the things that kind of was negotiated in the waning days of the Trump administration as part of these agreements. So it remains to be seen, you know, whether there is more of this. But really, this is sort of a specific incident that came about during a past administration. So we'll see if it sticks.
So I guess the big question is, what do all these changes of Fannie and Freddie mean for homebuyers?
Well, what we're already seeing is that for second homes, you are seeing mortgage rates that are higher. We talked to one person in our story who had thought that he would be able to get a mortgage rate at kind of like the going rate of the low 3% range when he had his offer accepted for a vacation home in Vermont. But it turned out that because of the new caps, the lender told him his rate would be closer to 4%. On a home like that, which is a second home mortgage, the rate is already going up. And we'll have to see what that means for the broader market. But it's something where the impacts are kind of already being passed through to the borrowers.
So this move by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, if it ends up pushing sales of vacation homes lower, what impact could that have on the broader real estate market?
When you think about most of the country, a lot of the country is not vacation homes specifically, but there are areas where that are most dependent on vacation homes and investment properties for their growth. So states like Vermont, Maine, Arizona, these are areas that are most dependent on vacation homes and investment properties for their growth. And so when these caps take effect, it could impact housing prices or generally the housing market there the most.
All right, this Wall Street Journal reporter, Ben Eisen. Ben, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.